Let's pray, everyone. Lord, our prayer this morning is over these next minutes gathered together here, you might open our hearts to respond to your word. Open our ears to hear your voice, great shepherd of your sheep, and give to us the desire to follow you. Make us more like you, Lord, the one who laid down his life for the sheep. Bless the work of pastoral care at our church. So grant that we might be known as those who love each other. So we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, I want to begin this morning by telling you a story about a church that really needed a coat of paint, and the pastor decided that he would do the job himself. He had a tin of paint, and he decided that this was it, the day had come. But he discovered that because he didn't have enough paint, he went around and got some more buckets, and he decided to thin the paint out. Some painters among us might tell us more about the dangers of doing this. Thinning the paint out, and he covered the entire church doing so. Anyway, all day painting. And then the night came, and of course, you know what happened, it rained. Very heavily came down and washed the paint off the church. Well, the pastor was very discouraged by this, and he was praying in his prayers, and he said, God, why? Why, after all this hard work painting this church, you've brought all this heavy rain and it's taken all the paint off this church. Why, Lord? To which God thundered his reply, repaint. Repaint and thin no more. Yeah, well, pastoring can be hard work. Hard work. It involves caring for people, looking after people. It involves making sure things work Sunday by Sunday. Attending to the needs. It can be complicated, convoluted, it can be inconvenient. Messy lives to deal with. Considerable time required. But nevertheless, it is good for churches to be involved in pastoral care. And this could be done in a number of ways. Traditionally, the minister would go to the hospital and attend to the person sick in hospital, and that is very, very important. And then, of course, there is the home visitation. And, of course, a church that has half a dozen people in it, well, there's not too much pressure on, is there? Not too much pressure when there's only a handful of people. But under God's good grace and hand, he grows churches. People become followers of Jesus, and birth rates grow, and maybe death rates slow, and then people immigrate from that place up north we call Sydney. They come down to they come down to the highlands and they find their way here, and then they connect with the various ministries that we have, the open doors to our church. They connect with us and they stay. And then we have things called weddings and baptisms and funerals. People connect with us in very way. God, under God's good hand, people, churches grow. And God uses pastoral care to avoid having a big back door. The big back door, the people come in, but they go out just as fast. And we want to make sure that the back door is hard to find. People new to St. Stephen's will know that they are valued if we show to them pastoral care. And initially, this can be as simple as connecting with someone, a new person, over coffee this morning, like some of us might be doing this morning, connecting with someone new here this morning to welcome them here amongst us. As churches grow, the work of pastoral care becomes much more challenging for the pastor. So once the church might have had 50 people in it, and it was a bit like this. You had a number of sheep there, but then the flock becomes a lot bigger. How does the pastor exercise their pastoral care over so many? We either stop growing, And something needs to be worked out so the flock can be kept growing. Or perhaps the church, we just say, well, it has to be keep small so that the pastor can have personal attention to every single person in the church. Now, look, this might come as a bit of a surprise to you, but ministers are very interested in churches growing. Is that a surprise? Well, let me just say to you, senior ministers are doubly interested in this. Okay? The result of the message of the forgiveness of sins going out to people, hearing about Jesus, responding to the Heavenly Father, hearing about the one who died on the cross to purchase people for him. And really the idea of being in church together is God gathering us, gathering people together, the Lord being Lord of his sheep to care for them. So we want to be able to most effectively care for people and to attend to pastoral needs. And if you see on the back page of the yellow handout, you'll see the diagram that we've put together there. And Linda Parry, who was just announcing a few moments ago about the course coming up, is the pastoral care coordinator, been appointed. And look, it's a bit redundant now, but look, let me just put a face up. I'm sorry, Linda, if that's, but there we are. Where did we get that one from? That's right. Well, anyway, there she is. And with each of our four Sunday services having trained pastoral care members who can attend to some needs. And so really this is about having more eyes and ears in the congregation so that we can effectively care for the pastoral needs of each other. All of us need pastoral care. That's a given. That's not something that I'm saying. That's what God says in his word. The Lord wants us to be growing in Christian maturity, and the role of the pastor is to that end. And we see this in Ephesians 4. The pastor slash teacher is preparing the people of God for works of service so that the growth in the body of Christ can happen. The goal there is fullness in Christ. Ultimately, pastoring is that aim, that the sheep grow to be more like Jesus, serving one another sacrificially with time and resources, having that heart that Jesus has for people. Our care should demonstrate that. But of course, there will be special times, won't they? Special times of need, sickness, injury, loss of employment, loss of a loved one. Challenging times when we're going through, perhaps as parents, how we pastorally attend to. Should God's people be pastorally concerned for people in those sort of circumstances? And undoubtedly, we would all say yes. Trying to bring God's comfort to that situation. If someone needs pastoral care, we don't want them to be overlooked. You may be familiar with the story in Acts chapter 6. A situation there with the early church in Jerusalem, they're experiencing Christian growth, people responding. And the situation there is that some people were being overlooked. The daily distribution of food. And it needed pastoral attention. And the church responded by appointing seven men full of God's Spirit to have spiritual oversight of this pastoral need. Here at St. Stephen's, the proposed specific Christian pastoral care is designed to link a pastoral carer with someone in need. And it involves all of us so that people in our congregations aren't being overlooked. We don't want people falling through the cracks. As a church, we want to be attentive to hear squeaky wheels. We not long ago came back from Tasmania, but while we were staying at someone's home, there was a tricycle, something like that. And not before long, our children found it. And as we were staying there, it was very clear when they were on that tricycle. We could hear it. You could hear it down the street. It was so squeaky. And I got to the point where it was just unbearable. And so I went through the cupboard. I couldn't find any oil in the garage, but I found canola oil. And I sprayed it on, and it all went sort of white foam, and sort of forget that. And then I found olive oil. Tried that, and it lasted for a while. But You see, somebody needed to attend to that problem and keep attending to it until that wheel gave up squeaking. And it's the same principle with church pastoral care. This is about, as best as we can, ensuring that everyone is pastorally cared for where there will be those special times of need and ongoing attention. There will be those squeaky wheels. And squeaky wheel or not, we don't want anyone to be overlooked. One of the wonderful ways that this can happen is through our Bible study growth groups. And we have a number of groups, and this morning inside your Mac update, there's a form that gives you a list of those groups. Men's groups, women's groups, daytime and nighttime, breakfast groups. And the common thread is very simple. The Bible, discipleship, prayer, fellowship, and pastoral care. I've been in Bible study groups for years, and I can testify to you that there is nothing more valuable than having a group of Christians in that group praying for you when you're going through a really hard time, caring for you in that way, or even looking for practical ways in which you can be cared for. We can do that sometimes as a group like this, Sunday by Sunday, but our growth groups are really another opportunity where pastoral care can happen. So let me ask you today, friends, that if you aren't in a group already, this is an opportunity for you to really think hard about joining into one of our groups. And please come and speak to me more about that afterwards. When the Lord Jesus appeared after he rose from the dead, one of the things he did was to reinstate Peter. Three times we know in the story that Peter denied his Lord. And three times Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And three times Jesus said to Peter, "He said to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs." Jesus is the true shepherd of people. And in that Ezekiel reading, we hear of this person in the line of David, this promised king, Messiah. This is the one who came to lay down his life for the sheep. This is the servant king of his people, his church. And now the Lord Jesus is one who reigns over this universe. Our great shepherd of the sheep calls people, and he calls Peter here to tend the flock. And that's just a bit of the backdrop here for that reading that we saw at 1 Peter 5. As the Lord has called, he now called Peter. Peter now appeals to fellow elders. And he says there in verse 1 to be shepherds. So in verse 1 he says, "To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in his glory to be revealed." And he's been talking about suffering for Christ, that we might rejoice in his glory. So now here as well, to the elders, the fellow elders. And I think it's important to realise here, doesn't it, that there is growth in the church, so we see growth in eldership. As people become followers of Jesus, they belong to his church, and the Lord of his church appointing shepherd, pastors, carers for the spiritual well-being of the sheep. And this will mean pastoral care in its various forms, how the needs of the sheep are cared for. How are the shepherds to do this? And it says in the passage, doesn't it, with willing, eager oversight of the flock. Verse 2, it says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve." Some of Paul's final words to the Miletus elders in Ephesus, the Ephesian elders in Miletus, I should say, that was in Acts 20. He called them to watch over the flock, to care for it, to have oversight for them. And Peter here is doing the same. Shepherds lead the flock and feed the flock. The shepherd guides them so that the sheep are being self-feeders. And spiritually, I want to say to you, friends, that the days that you invest in your Christian growth in the good ones are the days that will help you for the hard ones that come, and they will come. Shepherds, pastor is a diligent work. not just a sort of a routine, but it's with eagerness and a seeking to carry out the priorities of the chief shepherd, for the sheep belong ultimately to God. Pastoral carers are people who want to do God's will, feeding and tending God's sheep. And pastoral carers will come alongside people in need to do that. Loving deeds, yes, we're part of that. But the role of the pastoral care is for God's sheep to be nurtured in their Christian faith. There is really a great crossover in being disciples of Jesus. What are you facing? What are you being challenged by? And what stresses do you face? What overwhelms? And the pastoral care and knowing that the most important thing that God's sheep need is the comfort of the true shepherd. Not necessarily that things will go away, but rather the reassurance that he is protecting his sheep and he is in control and that he loves his people and he has great promises that he won't go back on. A growing flock needs a growing number of shepherds. And that is what pastoring is, keeping watch of the sheep willingly and eagerly and serving, just as our Lord did for us. And the passage also reveals the power of example. In verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. It's very easy to use a position of authority and misuse it. Easy to abuse that role. And the effect of this could obviously be, well, people just walk away and people lose trust. There's a loss of perspective. There's a person here, or the family. And first and foremost, in Christ, they are the Lord's. And so pastorally, we want to treat people like that, a son, a daughter of the King who is redeemed by his blood. And yes, even those difficult sheep, even those ones that are hard to get alongside, those difficult lambs are precious to God, though Jesus shed his blood for them. The power of example. And in the ancient world, you may know that the shepherds would typically lead from the front and the sheep would follow the shepherd. And in pastoral care, the carer is someone who is following the great shepherd of the sheep. And they must be pointing those in their care to Jesus. Ideally, they are a person who belong to a Bible study growth group. And ideally, they are relying on God in prayer. And they are seeking to make Jesus known to others. And they're committed to God's people Sunday by Sunday. They're being an example of those they care for. And they do this because of what lies ahead. So in verse 4 it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. An imperishable crown. And it's not just a gold or a silver or a bronze medal. It's an imperishable crown, not some sort of kudos that comes along the way. No, it's the crown of glory. And when it comes to glory, that's God's business. He's handing out crowns on the day Jesus, the chief shepherd, comes. And friends, this is not far away for every one of us. The reward of service to the chief shepherd. And Peter here is addressing the pastors, the shepherds and the carers of God's people. What a great concern to be committed to. Imagine a crown from God that never fades away. A permanent crown that God gives to you. What eternal honour coming from those who are shepherding the sheep, watching them and caring for them. if only we might realise that great reward. For pastoral care serves a great cause. You'll see that in the third point on the outline. A great cause of seeing a house full of people who are clothed with Christ's spotless righteousness. Our journey counts. And the destination makes the journey worth it. As the lost come home and are gathered to Christ the Shepherd, every one of us gathered to Christ needs his shepherding. And he uses pastors. He uses pastors to teach and guide and feed and lead his flock. And pastoral care gives that special attention as needed to help someone in Christ in their journey. There is a great destination. The pastoral carer comes alongside someone with the love of Christ, with something that the world cannot give, an eternal hope and perspective, a comfort during our trials. And they refer to the peace that surpasses understanding. And there's God doing his very best in that person who belongs to Christ for their journey. We need pastoral care. A growing church needs pastoral care in the great cause of seeing people followers of Jesus. I wonder how many of us might think and pray about being involved in that pastoral care training that Linda mentioned. You might be thinking, yes, pastoral care is important. And I get that, but I just don't feel I'm able to do it. What's involved? Could I really do that? And on the back page, you'll see there on September 3rd, a Saturday, has been set aside for that training day. And friends, this is exciting. We want our leaders and people involved in leadership trained in pastoral care. Just think if our Bible study group leaders were trained in pastoral care, how that might encourage our groups and be better able to administer that, give pastoral care. Well, we're offering there the basic or general training from 9 to 11, and this is really possibly looking at how well we listen. We all need to be able to listen well to each other and those in need. How do we care? And the second part of that, I believe, is more fully integrated about the specifics of pastoral care. I wonder whether you might consider being part of this. Be part of something worthwhile. Pastoral care training. Just a few weeks on a Saturday coming up in September. Serving a great cause. Following your shepherd Jesus. What a great witness it might be to the Lord's grace. A growing church need not neglect pastoral care. Following the Lord's heart, we will want more people to be cared for and knowing the shepherd's love in the midst of whatever they're going through. And a growing church will want to see more people in groups where pastoral care can take place. And a growing church need not have a large back door. And a growing church will train people in shepherding so it can effectively hear and it can attend to the pastoral needs of one another. Friend, please consider that and please be part of something really worthwhile. Keep caring for each other and keep training yourself in pastoral care, for it is the Lord's heart and he wants us all growing in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus. We ask that you will please move in us so that we might be good carers of each other, good shepherds, so that we might point each other to you. Father, we pray that through the ministry of pastoral care, that many will know in our community that we are a group, a church, that certainly loves one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.